you don't actually have to be different from anybody else who does what you do. You only have to appear to be different from everybody else who does what you do.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok. My guest today is Steve Lowell. Here's three facts that I think you should know about Steve. One, he is a multi-award-winning international professional speaker. Two, Steve is the 2022 president of the Global Speakers Federation, representing over 6,500 professional speakers around the globe. And three, not sure you're ready for this one. He once belly danced for a neighbor's 50th birthday party when the strippogram they hired canceled at the last minute. And yes, if you really look for it, you can find that video somewhere. Do you really want to find it? I don't know. Steve Lowell, welcome to Your Intended Message.
Well, thank you, George. Thanks for the invitation. I'm really honored to be here.
Delighted to have you. And the best thing you can do for us today is not belly dance.
How do you even know that? You didn't even see the video.
I did not go looking. I want to be able to sleep at night. Steve, you are known for helping people who sell complex products or services explain that to their clients in ways that the clients can understand, and most importantly, pick you first. Where does that process start? Where do you start?
So it's a big process. I call it deep thought strategy. And we kind of look at it from this angle. The objective is to demonstrate a unique understanding of your market or prospects or audience's world from a perspective they have never considered before. So the process starts with exploring not your solution and not all the great things that you've created, but exploring the market and trying to find an angle that the market has not considered before. And then what we do is we take the complex idea or solution and we break it down into its most basic components and craft a very simple, straightforward message that doesn't present another solution as much as it presents another problem. So it's sort of the objective is to bring their awareness to a problem they never even knew they had. I'm talking about the audience or the prospect or the market. And the desired outcome of this whole process is to get the market or the audience to kind of do this. You want them to go, I've never thought of it like that before. And that's sort of the desired outcome that we work towards.
It sounds like in order to reach our market, our prospects, to reach their mindset, we need to disrupt their thinking and get them to see a problem they didn't even recognize, a problem that they didn't even realize they had.
Yeah, so I'll give you an example that demonstrates the premise. This doesn't demonstrate the process, but it demonstrates the premise. So, and I've done this all over the world. When I speak, I ask the audience this question. I'll say, put up your hand if you or somebody you know is in the market for a tennis instructor. And the results are almost always the same. I think maybe one time I had somebody's hand go up, but I've done this in front of audiences of hundreds of people and thousands of people, and the results are always the same. People's hands generally don't go up. And so I tell them about this guy named Brian, and Brian came to me about 20 years ago, and Brian said, you know, Steve, I'm going to all the networking groups. I'm shaking all the hands. I'm making all the calls. I'm talking to all the people. He said, I'm not getting the business that I need. And I said, well, Brian, what do you do? He said, I'm a tennis instructor. So we taught Brian this fundamental principle about standing out. And that is, it's this: you don't actually have to be different from anybody else who does what you do. You only have to appear to be different from everybody else who does what you do. And you appear to be different by doing two things. You change the way you think about your market, and that's what we were just talking about. And you change the way you speak about yourself. So then what I do is I tell the audience this, is that if you were to see Brian today and you said, "Brian, you know, tell me about your business," he would say, "Well, you know how sometimes kids have so much energy, they're bouncing off the walls and the parents get so frustrated because they have no idea what to do with these kids." He'd say, "Well, what I do is I take kids of any age. I bring them on a tennis court. I absolutely exhaust them and I hand them back to their parents. And then I ask the audience again, put up your hand if you might know somebody who just might be in the market for a tennis instructor." And of course, the whole place puts up their hands. And it just demonstrates this. It demonstrates that just changing the language and the angle just a little bit can mean the difference between "I'm not interested" and "tell me more." And what it has to do with, it's not about shocking them as much as it is about changing their perspective on their condition. And I call it their condition. And that's, you know, the state in which they live, according to whatever your expertise is. And what's happening is most speakers, coaches, trainers, authors, consultants, thought leaders, entrepreneurs, you know, who live in our world, they walk around the earth looking for somebody who has the problem that they solve. Then they'll say, I have a solution for that problem. And everybody's doing that. So my process focuses on not solving their problem as much as bringing their awareness to a problem of which they were previously unaware and solving that one.
That one change in perspective is probably worth a lot of money. And if we gain nothing else from this conversation today, that is probably the home run idea right there. Because I never thought of it that way before.
Well, there it is, right? There it is. And that's what so much happens, you know, George, so much happens when those thought processes change, when you can shake their beliefs, rattle their paradigms a little bit, change their perspective. What happens is, and this is what I found, is in addition to changing their perception of things, getting past their intellect and into their imagination, that elevates you as an authority where everybody else is positioned as an expert. And I see those things as two completely different things, George. I see an expert as somebody who's sort of been there, done that, has the credentials, has the three letters, has the education. But an authority, what I found is people typically associate that word to the architect or the originator or the creator or the author. And so when we can shake those beliefs a little bit, it elevates our perceived stature of authority, where we sit in their mind as an authority in our field. And this applies to pretty much, you know, any type of entrepreneur. I've also done this work with CEOs and charities and not-for-profits and, you know, and pharmacists and dietitians and, you know, a whole bunch of different professions.
Now, Steve, the other point that I noticed, that story about the tennis instructor, is that when he introduces himself as a tennis instructor, you're not going to tell anyone else about this tennis instructor. But now when he gives us that analogy of taking the kids and totally exhausting them, now you've got a story that people will repeat to others.
Absolutely. And people still repeat it to me now. And they, "Hey, Steve, you're going to tell the tennis instructor story?" But I'll tell you what happened on that day. He came to me and we did that work. The very next day, I was with a corporate client and I was standing with her by her desk, and she had these kids on her screen, on her screensaver. And I said to her, I said, "Hey, are those your kids?" And I kid you not, George, she says, "Yeah, that middle one is mine. I got to tell you, he has so much energy, man. I have no idea what to do with them half the time." I said, I know a guy. So I connected them and they actually did business, you know. And so when you just change the perspective, you know, of the audience as a speaker, this is equally or even more important. But if you can change the perspective of the audience or the prospect of the market, that clarity that you provide them is of enormous value to them, because so many of our clients and our prospects and our market and our audiences are looking for a solution to what they believe is their problem. And when we open up a new perspective and open up a new door, a new line of thought to a problem they'd never considered before, it gives them hope. It gives them clarity. It gives them another avenue that they may not have pursued before, and they will thank you for it. And most importantly, you've hit upon it, George, they will pay you for it. And that's the intended message. You see, as speakers, coaches, trainers, authors, consultants, all these things, we often make this mistake that we buy into this old adage that your mess is your message. Have you heard that, George? Your mess is your message. Mm-hmm. And I don't buy into that adage. And I'll tell you why. Because I've got lots of clients, and I know you do too, George, lots of clients who have big stories. And they craft their stories and they get their messages from those stories and the wisdom they've learned from those stories, and they bring them to the platform or to the screen or to the blogs or the books or the videos or the training or whatever. And they're saying to the world, here's my story, here's what I've learned from my story, and there's my message. And their mess becomes their message. The problem is that so many people use that process. So many experts, thought leaders, and all the people we work with, they take this mess, their big story, they bring it to the world, and now the world is hearing all these big stories. So I don't believe that your mess is actually your message. Your mess or your moment or your mission or whatever it is, that forms the foundation of why we do what we do. But the message, the intended message shouldn't be, let me tell you my story. The intended message, I believe, should be, let me help you get clarity on your story. And that's the difference.
And it's not new advice, but it sounds like it's a good reminder that we need to have a clear description, image, vision of who we serve best. And our description should not include the word everyone.
Yes. Unless you're going to follow it up with everything, then it works. I speak to everyone about everything. Yeah. The topic of my keynote is the universe and all that is in it. That's my intended message.
And which means that we need to spend some time thinking about our best clients and differentiate our best clients from our worst clients or not so good clients, and start to speak to those best clients, find out what their pain is and how, and if we can help them, how we can reframe that.
Yeah. And that's a fact. And sometimes what we'll find, and certainly I found this, and maybe you have too, George, is we may have different lanes of ideal clients, of ideal prospects. I mean, certainly I do. I work with nonfiction authors. That's a lane. I work with professional speakers. That's a lane. I work with thought leaders. That's a lane. I work with coaches. That's a lane. And so the messages themselves, the words I use and the spin that I put changes from lane to lane. But the desired outcome is exactly the same. I want to change their perspective. I want to demonstrate my unique understanding of their condition from a perspective they have never considered before. And that's the outcome. And so although the verticals or the lanes change, the process and the outcome is exactly the same.
And let me see if I got it right. So we can't have more than one target audience by demographics, sociographics, but they're the same in terms of their mindset.
Let me ask you this. You have different lanes of clients that you serve, yes?
Yes, true.
And so if you had to separate them, George, into two, let's just pick two. Separate your market for me into two main verticals or lanes. Who would they be?
For me, one, it's the leader, the CEO of a mid-sized business.
So leaders and CEOs, mid-sized business. Number two,
promising. It's rising stars, and the rising executive stars. The rising stars could be in large corporations or medium-sized, but they're rising stars. They're not there yet.
Got it. Okay, so let's separate them into the rising stars and the leaders. Now, let's talk about the leaders for a second. If you had to wave a magic wand and select one major desired outcome for them, if there was a common outcome that you could identify for that group generally, what would that outcome be? What do they want?
They need to deliver their message. Typically, it's a presentation, and something has changed in their environment, and they need to improve their ability. They need to take it to a higher level. It could be a sales presentation. It could be a leadership presentation, but things have changed, and they need to deliver better.
Got it. Okay. Things have changed. They need to deliver better. Now, with the other group, the rising stars, what is their desired outcome?
Their desired outcome is to grow their career. And their leaders typically recognize that this person has promise, they just don't communicate well. And can you help? And here's what they say: they help. Can you help to get them to stop pissing people off?
Right. Okay. So now this is a good example. So we've got these two different verticals. We've got the experts and the leaders, where circumstances have changed and they have to learn how to communicate effectively within those circumstances. And we got the rising stars who need to learn how to communicate effectively in order to pursue their desired outcome of growth and forward motion. So when we take a look at those two verticals, they sound like different desired outcomes. But the path is exactly the same. And the reason I know the path is the same is because you are walking them down each of their paths. And so although there might be some differences in the path, it's really the same direction. So now your job is to do this. And with this process, here's what you end up with is, with the leaders, you have them saying, I never thought of it that way before. No wonder I'm having such a hard time communicating in the face of change. And with this group, with the rising stars, you want to get them to the point where they go, I never thought of it before. No wonder I'm having a hard time moving forward. And it's the, I never thought of it that way before. No wonder. That's the piece. So the desired outcome is the same for both of these verticals. And your process would be almost exactly the same. You're going to tweak it and you're going to, modify it a little bit, but your process is basically the same. This one needs to be a better communicator. This one needs to be a better communicator, but they have different experiences, different conditions. So all you need to do is give them clarity on the nature of their condition rather than try and solve their problem. Sounds simple, doesn't it?
it sounds, yeah. When you say it, it sounds so, well, of course. Why didn't I think of that?
Yeah.
Where's the difficulty? Where do people run into problems?
People run into problems in a number of ways, but this is the one I see the most. And I love this question. People run into problems detaching themselves from that which they think they already know. And they get attached to their solutions, right? You should hire me, George, because I've got my five pillars to this. I got my six secrets. I've got the special strategy, the unique process. I use this system. And it's all about trying to convince you that the solution I provide is better than the solution everybody else provides. And so in order for people to move down this deep thought strategy process, they need to detach from the solution. Now, where it becomes really difficult is if they are the architect of the solution, if they've created the solution. I'll give you an example. I worked with an inventor out of Toronto who has developed this amazing neuro system for large events. And he calls it neuroscaping. His name is Ben Morrison, and he's just this brilliant, brilliant guy. And he's got this whole system about neuroscaping, and I have his permission to talk about him in this context. But he goes to big events, big multi-million dollar events, Mercedes and Salesforce and the big ones. And he makes sure that everything in the entire event is activated according to neuroscience, according to awe induction, the principles of attention and all of these things. Try and get him to explain that to somebody. It was impossible because he's deep, 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 deep inside his solution. And when we talked to him, it took me a year to understand what the heck this guy did, because he's so passionate about his solution that he created, that he developed, that he's dedicated his life to. Getting him to detach from that until it's time to bring it forward That was the most difficult part for him. So we worked on this for months, and he got it. He got it. We were able to take this highly complex scientific, you know, thing and break it down into something that he could present where any one of us could look at it and go, oh, I never thought of it like that before. That, no wonder that last event was so boring. No wonder that last one was so awesome. And so the toughest part is getting people to detach from that which they think they already know. That's the toughest piece.
Getting people to detach. And I'm guessing too that getting people out of trying to answer the question how.
100%. Yeah.
And yeah. And so they need to look for what question do they need to address then?
They need to address this, and this is what we pursue. The question is, what is my unique understanding of your condition from a perspective you have never considered before? How am I going to demonstrate that I know your condition better than you know your condition? You see, if I'm trying to sell you my complex idea, the worst thing I can do is try and sell you my complex idea. What I need to do is I need to open your perspective so that you understand that you need my complex idea. I need you, you know, if you're the prospect, George, I need you to tell me that you need my complex idea. If I sit here and try and convince you that you need my complex idea, I'm just another sales guy and I look like everybody else. So the question we work towards is, how am I going to demonstrate to you as my prospect? How am I going to demonstrate to you a unique understanding of your condition from a perspective you have never considered before? So you would go, you know, I want you to be able to go, I've never heard it like this before. No wonder I can't do that. No wonder I can't reach this outcome. And only until we achieve that, at that point, then my solution becomes relevant to you. Up until that point, it doesn't, it's not even relevant. It's just, you know, another check mark on the shopping list and all of the different people you've seen in your life. So that's a tough mindset shift to make sometimes.
Steve, what I'm hearing is if I'm selling to you, I can't speak from how you see, currently see the problem or the pain, and I can't see it from my solution perspective. So I need to develop another perspective that somehow brings you to me.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yep. Exactly right. This is why, George, the process is called deep thought strategy and not fleeting thought strategy, right? Because it takes work. I mean, this is not something we sit down and, you know, do, you know, in a morning. Sometimes this takes months to get this done. And it's one of those things where even when you're working on it for yourself to try and find that message, you will reach a point where you go, oh, I never thought of it like that before. There it is. That's it. There's my message. Right. And that happens almost every single time when I work with these people. I don't know the answers at all when I'm working with somebody and I don't really tell them anything. I ask a zillion questions and my job is to kind of guide them to the answers until they go, there it is. There it is. And so that's why the process is a lengthy process. And that's why it's called deep thought strategy and not fleeting thought strategy. And this is something that I work a lot with authors. You know, a lot of us in the speaking world, as you know, George, you know, we take our intended message and we put it in a book. We take our book and we say, hello world, here's my book with my great message in it. And then we wonder why all kinds of people don't buy it. And what we found is, you know, with my last book called Deep Thought Strategy, which I wrote two and a half years ago, what we found is that the book didn't really hold as much value to people as I thought. But what we did find was when people heard me speak about the concept, they then wanted the book. So the book leverages me as a speaker. So I stopped trying to sell, you know, millions of copies of the book. And I use the book now to support my speaking and my coaching and my training and consulting. And what the book does for me is it gives me that authenticity as the originator, as the architect, as the authority.
And we've had a previously for those who are still who are looking at writing a book, we've had previous guests talk about writing and promoting the book. Helen Wilkie appeared in episode number 25. Diana Boer appeared in episode 48, and they both talked at the whole book process from different perspectives. Valuable interviews there, Steve. You have a program for people who have completed a book, but just don't know how to leverage it best. That program, I believe it's called You're an Author, Now What?
That's it. Yep.
And where can they find it, and what's in it for them?
Sure. Well, what's in it for them is basically what we've been talking about. It's, you see, when I wrote my book, Deep Thought Strategy, that book started to get attention because people were interested in the message, but it was people who had heard me speak somewhere. And so I got invited to speak in more places once that book came out. I wasn't selling lots of copies, but I was selling them to the right people. And we started to go around the world, you know, and we made all kinds of money with the book. And we only sold at that time, you know, fewer than 500 copies of the book. So what's in this program is exactly what we did. The step-by-step process of the things we needed to do to get there. So in this program, what you will learn is the things you need to do. Of course, in, you know, 70 minutes or so, I can't teach you how to do them all, but I show you all the tools you can get to do them. But I show you exactly the way that we broke down our world in order to make it happen so that a nonfiction author, and this works best for nonfiction authors, so that a nonfiction author can break down their world in a similar way and maybe navigate through it the same way we did. So they'll learn these things. There's these principles there that I call the four influence drivers, four specific key things that we need to have in order to attract the attention of and engage the people around the world who can, you know, get us connected, get us booked, get us in front of the people. I talk about something called the content hack. And it's about when we speak and present, when we're speaking live virtually like this or on a broadcast or whatever, content hack, four specific elements that absolutely have to be in your content in order for you to make it work. And I talk about this thing that I call the connection equity multiplier. It's, you know, a system or a tool that can put you in front of groups of people. But these are the things that we had to use in order to get us to get momentum from our book. So this program talks about that.
And
they can get it at, it's called webinarforauthors.com. Webinarforauthors.com. It's also available on my website, stevelowell.com.
And webinarforauthors.com. And you can find both those links in the description below. Steve, when going back to helping people get this right mindset, and you mentioned that you ask a lot of questions. I'm guessing that a lot of the questions are going to be about emotions.
Actually, no. And I'll tell you why. Here's why. Part of the process is this. I'll break it down a little bit for you. Your world, your market's world or your prospects, they live in a certain condition, right? And they don't want to live in that condition. They want to live in another condition. Otherwise, they wouldn't need to hire you. They wouldn't be looking for an expert. So we take the condition they do live in. They don't live in this best case scenario. They live in one of these other case scenarios. And we break their existing world down into three possible scenarios. Worst case scenario, next to worst case scenario, tolerable scenario. And they all live in one of those scenarios, but they want to be over here in the best case scenario. Now, part of this process, and we're getting a little bit deep here, but that's okay. Part of this process is having them self-select where they are within their condition. So I might say, you know, George, it'll be like this, you know, if I was doing this with you, I would, and let's say you're my prospect and you're a coach. So I might say, you know, a lot of coaches live in this scenario, this worst case scenario where, and they know they're there. You're going to know you're there, George, when you don't see any clients, the phone isn't ringing, you're not getting any referrals, nobody is responding to your social media, you're not getting any response on your website. And when I say those things to you, you might go, that I see those, that sounds like me. That's me. I'm in that group. And I keep emotions out of it for the most part. And the reason is because I could say, this is the worst case scenario. This is the tolerable scenario, and this is the next to worst case scenario. And I could say, you know, you're in this scenario when you're feeling frustrated, but that doesn't separate the scenarios because you can feel frustrated in all of them. So I work with what I call observables, and I specifically try and get the emotion out of the conversation until a very specific point. So I want to break your world down into four different possible scenarios, show you what it's like, what the observables are in each of those scenarios, so that you can self-select where you are based on what you see and based on what you observe, not based on what you feel. I don't know if that made any sense or not.
It does, and I can understand the concept of observable, what we're actually seeing, what we see, and certainly visuals are powerful. That's a terrific way to clarify conditions for people when they can see the condition, and they can perhaps also see the solution or see the change after the solution.
Absolutely. And this is part of the process. It's like, if you see yourself here and you know you're there when you see these things. You might see yourself here. You know you're there when you see these things, and they're different. You might be here and you'll know you're there if you see these things. But where you really want to be is over here. And you know you're there when you see these things. These are all the things you want to see. These are all the things you do see. And you're going to go, I'm in the wrong spot. I'm seeing all these things that I don't want to see. And I'm not seeing the things I do want to see.
And what came to my mind is, how will you know when, if you want to go to Paris, how will you know when you're there? Well, mm-hmm. I will see the Eiffel Tower.
There it is. Right.
And that's the clarity. Now, Steve, in preparing to wrap up, if you could offer business leaders one, two, or three ideas on how they can start better clarifying their complex solution to their clients, what would be those one, two, or three ideas?
So I think, I love that question too. I think the first idea, George, it would be to take your complex idea and try and explain it to me in a single sentence at a time. Break every thought that you have about that idea and tell it to me in a single sentence, maximum two. Because when you challenge somebody to do that, it causes them to go through their messaging in their words at a forensic level and pick out only those words that are specifically required. And I'll tell you, that is a difficult, difficult exercise for people. But this is the challenge, I think. And this would be the big thing. The first thing I would do is, go through your idea and explain it to me in a single sentence, maximum two. And then make sure you can do that with every component of your idea. And then what happens after that, this would be point number two, is once you break each of the components of your idea down to a single sentence, then you're going to get clarity on exactly what problem each of those points solve. And now you're going to take that problem and you're going to present it to me in a way I've never heard before. And that's the challenge. But I would start by breaking it down one sentence at a time. That's what I do. That's what I do with my clients. And it's tough. It's not easy, but it can be done. And it's very powerful because it causes you to reflect on your messaging and your expertise at a very deep level, deeper than most people ever go.
Powerful advice. My guest today is Steve Lowell, reminding you that you might not be different, but you can appear different when you see a perspective that they had never considered before.
If you like what you heard, remember to like, comment, and share this podcast. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.